Papers C, and then I will invite any comments from cabinet members in relation to it, and I'll have a comment myself, which I'll bring in at the end. So back to you, Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Leader. This is a routine report, and unusually there are two quarters information in it because of the delays we've experienced during the pandemic. It's very comprehensive, again, as we expect from our officers. The report is a straightforward factual document, and following comments on previous reports, we've made sure that it is as digestible as possible, although by necessity it is very data dense. I will only comment on a couple of elements which are to do with the financial part of it, which obviously is my significant interest. On the quarter one, we were proceeding extremely well, and quarter four, we ended the financial year with a very, very slight saving against our budget target of slightly over £1 million. And in accordance with policy, we added that to our reserve system. And wasn't that a good thing we did? Because when we now look at the outcome of quarter one, which includes the COVID elements, we are now registering that we could have a potential shortfall there of at least 8.4 millions. We are going to have to work on that, and in fact we have already started, to look at what we can do to revise priorities, to make additional savings, to raid all of the little pockets of contingency and so on to meet that shortfall, because of course if we cannot recover it in the remaining quarters of the current financial year, that automatically becomes a first call on our money for the next financial year, and we already are aware that that financial year is probably going to be the most difficult of any that we have faced in the last few years. So those are the only comments I would make. Obviously, each portfolio holder is well aware of the situation within their particular portfolio and is recorded in the quarterly report. I will just mention, of course, that now Councillor Tindall has joined us on Cabinet. He will be the lucky man that presents this report to future meetings of Cabinet, and he and I have already had discussions about transfer of this and other responsibilities so that we have a smooth transition as our portfolios change. That was all I wished to say on that particular report. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you, Councillor Hutchinson. I'll move around the Cabinet. Don't feel obliged to speak, but I'll start with Councillor Mosley.
Thank you. Just to report that as of the end of July, adult social care is no longer projecting an overspend, and we will have saved £661,000 to date. Considering the demand on the services within adult social care, I think we need to really congratulate all the staff that work within that department for actually getting to this point. I think it's quite a stunning performance, actually.
Thank you for that, Claire. That is an outstanding comment. And we certainly have not skimped in this council on the current COVID-19 situation. I've seen for myself the enormous amount of money that we spent, but it's just been very good and very effective position. Councillor Ward, did you want to add comment? You're muted, Ian, at the moment. You just need to unmute, sorry.
Leader, I've got a couple actually.
Okay.
The phase one pop-up cycling and walking proposals that we put together under the direction of the government, we put on hold, quite frankly, to review. And that's come about because the government changed its policy over the weekend and said that actually we should stop these now and consult. So that is exactly what we are going to do. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. And the second one, and I'm quite chuffed about this one. A recent announcement from ComRes said that the island's A, B and C roads are the most improved in the country. Okay. I mean, it's always really populist to attack our PFI and you know how bad our roads are, etc., etc. But it's great to get an independent body that comes along and said they are the most improved in the country. Thank you, Leader.
Thank you for that, Ian. And I know those comments have been echoed by the various cyclists that we've had from elsewhere coming to the island at the moment who are extremely impressed with the roads on the island. Councillor Brading, Paul Brading.
Yes, thank you, Leader. I just want to re-emphasise a couple of points that actually were made at Children's Services Scrutiny Panel last week. In Holder Quarter, obviously, we're during lockdown, and we put together a three-phased strategy to deal with Children's Services during lockdown. And it's been confirmed we've remained at stage one right through the whole of lockdown. Stage one being business as usual, albeit meetings have been done in a slightly different way, virtual where possible, for the service to maintain itself business as usual during this unprecedented times. It's a great credit to the entire Children's Services team. I can only thank them for what they've done. Also, during that time, we've been planning for what we, you know, we really predict could be an increase in numbers of children needing support going forward, especially now children are back into school. But all that planning has been done, put in place, and Children's Services Scrutiny Panel last week were, you know, really impressed with the presentation of the measures we've put in place as part of our recovery plan, you know, should the numbers spike or go up as we expect them to do so. And equally, the final point really is we've done some investment in our transformation programme, and it's really is paying off. So it just shows if you invest in the right programmes to care for your children, and we're going to keep that going forward, because it's having a real benefit to the service that we offer. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Barry, did you want to make any comments? Yeah, Barry Abraham.
Yes, please, Leader. Just one thing with planning is the planning enforcement. It does appear that during the lockdown, people have actually taken the opportunity to do a lot of work in their gardens and to their houses. And unfortunately, there has been quite a surge in complaints to the council about planning enforcement, which has put pressure on the enforcement team. They will get around to catching up with the work, but I think we need to make it clear that they won't be as quick response as sometimes we like to think that there is, because of all the sheer number of complaints that actually have come in. I think people have taken the opportunity to do some things that have annoyed their neighbours.
Thank you, Barry. Wayne, did you want to add anything? Not essential, but if you have.
Well, just the good news, really. After months of negotiations, the Isle of Wight Council has now purchased the Columbine, or the Venture Quay site, it's known by many names, for $1.3 million, which is good when you think when we started negotiations, Homes England was asking about $3 million for it. And I just wanted to say that, you know, this fulfills our commitment to acquire this important asset and will enable us to take forward our plans that support both East Cowes and the wider island community. At a time when we know the island economy is under pressure, affecting homes and jobs, I'm pleased we can now announce this good news. It also allows us to progress development of housing for the community in the area, and more information on this will follow on shortly. Investing in the prime waterfront site with its crucial deep water access will preserve key employment land for the benefit of the island's workforce for many years to come. And I'm just glad we finally got it in the bag. And obviously we all supported this as a cabinet because we understand the importance of this site for island jobs.
Thank you, Wayne. And please, can you thank all the officers? You're absolutely right. There was an awful lot of work went into secure that site, and indeed our MP engaged with us as well, And I think that was a total team effort, and it now enables us to take advantage of it. So as the owners of that property and the land around it, we can now move forward. And I know there's going to be more good news coming. So thank you very much for that. Gary, is there anything you wanted to add on the performance side of things?
Yeah, thanks, leader. I just want to draw attention to a few things, actually, within my portfolio. So firstly, we've got community safety. It remains extremely busy dealing with our response to recovery from COVID. Business as usual is affected, unfortunately, some more than others, and we're actively trying to secure extra funding and resources to assist the teams. You'll all have heard about the latest government guidelines on social distancing and COVID response and so on and so forth. So we're waiting for detailed guidance currently on what we can and can't do. And as you might expect, we're receiving a huge amount of inquiries as to how this will apply to business and events. Moving on to digital transformation. So the council's website project, despite the delays caused by COVID and because the IT team were too busy dealing with COVID response, the project is progressing really well. We've got a new website design that has been agreed, and we've also agreed the works for the build and delivery of a beta site, and we're on track for the introduction of the new website by the end of November 2020. We're also about to go live with our new democratic administration system called ModGov. Essentially, it's an easier online platform for members of the public to find and access council meetings, papers and information. So that should make things an awful lot easier for our residents to find information. And lastly, I want to give a shout out to our bereavement services team. These guys have been overlooked in our response to COVID. They're working extremely hard and have been working extremely hard over the last few months dealing with COVID, to be honest, and making sure that the service continues to deliver to the highest possible standards in these really difficult times. So that's me for updates with the Gas portfolio. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Hastings, is there anything you wanted to add in relation to waste?
Yes, leader. If you can bear with me, what I'd like to do is read out something that I had prepared for the scrutiny meeting on Tuesday, but unfortunately, due to time constraints, the chair couldn't allow it on that meeting. But if you're happy for me to go forward with that, I will do.
Yeah, happy. I want to get all the performance information out. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Hopefully members of the council will find the performance report quite self-explanatory, but I wanted to say a few words by way of introduction. The waste contract commenced in 2015 is based on an outcomes approach and output specification. Measuring performance within this contract demonstrates the annual improvements made towards achieving the contract aims of treating waste as a valuable resource, delivering high quality and value for money services for the residents of the island, reducing non-essential waste landfill to zero. Through the excellent management of the service provider and strong partnership working, which is really important because we're nominated for that partnership for an award this year. The performance data from January through June 2020 demonstrates that even under the challenges of a pandemic, this contract can and does robustly deliver waste collection services operating effectively without any disruptions, which I think is quite remarkable through the pandemic. This is also an opportunity to thank the excellent and diligent hard work of the collection crews on our waste and recycling rounds, who have worked tirelessly to keep our household waste collection service operating as normal during the lockdown period. Not all heroes wear bright red capes. It has been a very challenging time nonetheless. Together we increased recycling at the curbside by 27%, something we should be very proud of and need to keep going. In July last year, the 17 million investment in the country's first twin stream mechanical treatment plant, which has enabled the contract to exceed in quarter four and quarter one. The target to divert 90% of waste from landfill, with 99.98% of contract waste diverted by June. This is an outstanding achievement. Further, our recycling rate continues to sit at 56%, which puts us high in the national rankings, and I think we're nominated there as well for the awards this year. I think we're nominated for two, and is hoped to increase with the ongoing community effort to further reduce, reuse and recycle. Not to mention up and coming, it's been delayed by COVID, but we'll be back on track soon for our energy from waste plant will get completed hopefully by next spring. And just very briefly, the household waste recycling centres, commonly known as the TIPS, I think we've done an exceedingly good job to get them back with the booking system operating. We've had compliment after compliment, and I believe, Leader, a compliment from yourself at one point when you used the service, to the extent that our strategic manager for waste and environment was actually asked to speak to the Association of Public Service Excellence, which she did recently, to 40 other members, to tell them what we did and how we did it. So where we lead, others follow.
Thank you. Thank you, all Cabinet members. Brian, I won't ask for a report from you because you're going to inherit that in the next month or so. Did you want to comment on what you've heard?
Yeah, it's purely just to thank Stuart for his handover to me. Very full and very thorough. And just like to thank him, because he ended it in good political tradition. He handed me a note giving me the current of the funding.
Well, it's interesting, I'm going to come on to that. And I know, I hope the people of Brading, St Helens and Bembridge will appreciate that you're going to give your time to the centre as well, because I know how hard you're working locally. So there's three things that come out from this, Cabinet members, for me. This is strong leadership across the piece. This is keeping our community safe. And this is ensuring that our council is sustainable. And if we do those three things, then I think we're all doing a good job for our community. So, members, this report was noted by Scrutiny Committee, and that's it. And if there are any issues going forward, they said they would take them up with the Cabinet member, but then they had no issues to take up with the Cabinet member. So I think we can move forward. Councillor Hutchinson has outlined the recommendation, which is at page C13. I think we read it out, Stuart, didn't we? If not, I can do that.
I can do it if you wish, Leader. It is simply that Cabinet approves the performance and finance reports for the quarter ended March 31st and the quarter ended June 2020, and the detail is set out in the appendices and the Council's financial position, which is also set out in four further appendices. So I would hope Council will, Cabinet will accept it and note it.
Happy to second it. Just an indication, please, if you're happy to note the report. Councillor Brading, I see, yes. Councillor Ward, yes. Councillor Barry Abraham, yes. Brian Tindall, yes.
Sorry, Chairman, it's the Chief Executive. I wonder if for the record we could call names and people could acknowledge.
Oh, sorry. I'll get them to do that, Chief Exec. It's good to know you're there. Guarding my shoulder. Councillor Brady.
Councillor
Ward.
Four.
Councillor Abraham.
Four.
Councillor Mosdall.
Five. Sorry, four.
Councillor Whittle.
Four.
Councillor Tindall.
Four.
Councillor Hastings.
Four.
Councillor Peace.
Four.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Four.
And I vote four. So that's a unanimous. Thank you very much indeed. We now move on to item six, which is the PTEC report. So this is presented by myself and the Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Business Development. I'll do a short introduction on this. For some people, this will be new information, some old. But the members, the Council declared a climate emergency with an aspiration for the island to be net zero by 2030.